Well, the eyes of the golf world glued on Tiger Woods winning the tour championship, but another web.com tour championship, another, I would say it's a comeback story going on with Ben Silverman.
Yeah, absolutely, Hutch, and I think we all got, I know I got caught up with watching Tiger's performance and wasn't able to look at Ben Silverman's performance on the web.com tour until the next day. On Monday, and then when I looked at it, you know, it was a remarkable piece of work. And as a golf performance specialist, I must say what Ben Silverman did, how he performed in the closing holes, was remarkable.
Right.
And for, you know, for those who aspire to, you know, get to that next level, who aspire to perform better, and quite frankly, there are so many young kids nowadays that the difference between making it and not making it is how they use their mind.
Right.
And watching Silverman, you know, so let me go through it. On the 16th hole, he had about a 5-foot putt.
Right.
For par, and he can't afford to not only lose a shot, he has to gain a shot in order to make the cut to get to get into the top 25.
Right.
In his specific situation. And Hutch, this was really wonderful work. So he assesses and executes and makes that 5-footer. That's a shot gained event.
Right.
In MindQuest.
Yeah.
And then on the 17th hole, you know, I didn't see his tee shot, but he was faced with a 25-foot putt that he made for birdie. That was another shot gained event.
Yeah.
And then on the 18th hole, now that shot gained event on 17, that put him into the inside the mark. And then
right.
on 18, he had you know, went for the green and two, dumped it into the hit it into his driver. Sorry, his 3-wood into the bunker. Didn't make a great shot out. Had a 30-footer. Now he's got a 2-putt. And if he gets ahead of himself, he's in trouble. And he didn't hit a great first putt. It went about 4 feet by, and you know, there isn't a tougher situation to make a 4-foot putt in
right.
order to make get your card. If you make it, you get your PGA Tour card. If you miss it, you don't get your PGA Tour. You don't get
right.
your job, you know, on the PGA Tour the next year. And he nailed that. So
yeah.
those three holes were a model of success, and my hat's off to him. That was tremendous performance.
Well, I think you got to look at the entire day, too. I mean, I was watching him. I was keeping an eye on the computer while I was watching Tiger as well. And, you know, the front nine, he was 3-under. You know, he made the turn at 3-under. I was watching him. He was up into the top 25 at that point. And he must have been feeling pretty good. You know, certainly not over yet, but certainly feeling pretty good making the turn at 3-under. But then he bogeys 10, he bogeys 12, and all of a sudden he's out of the top 25, and he's starting to look pretty shaky. For him to come back as he did, I think that says a lot as well.
To the culmination, the last few holes, or even the last putt in his situation, and what everything, what young players, and any golfer for that matter, because it's all relative, what they have to do is condition themselves so when the pressure mounts, and, you know, you don't get any greater pressure situations than what Ben was feeling or the rest of the guys were feeling if it
yeah.
comes down to having to make a great shot in the last few holes or the last putt.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with those who are going to face the situation that determines the end at the who wins the Ryder Cup at the end of this week.
Right.
But you know, specifically to Ben's situation are all those young players that are aspiring to be great performers on the PGA Tour.
Right.
They have to condition themselves so that when they get confronted with those situations, and they will happen,
right.
that they don't jump into the future. They don't get ahead of themselves. They can calm down, assess, and execute based on their conditioning
yeah.
so the situation doesn't overwhelm them. You know, we watched a number of players in that situation who were in, you know, in the in the 25 that hit balls in the water, two balls in the water on the last hole. So those are the ones that didn't handle the situation well, and they're confronted with a tremendous amount of pain. And whether they're able to succeed in the future is going to be based on how well they react to this situation. So this is the thing that is our greatest learning experience. And I just want to continue to point out what Silverman did was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, does that mean he's going to be guaranteed a successful life on the PGA Tour? Absolutely not.
Right.
But what it does show that he's making the proper ascent, his mindset is proper, and he needs to just stay within it and build upon it.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. When we saw Ben Silverman make the PGA Tour last year, I mean, not a lot of people were expecting it. Ben wasn't really a well-known guy. You know, he didn't play at a big college, and he didn't, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere. And even last year, you know, when he was playing on the web.com, you know, he didn't quite seem ready to make the ascent to the PGA Tour. All of a sudden, he wins the Price Cutter Championship out there, has a couple of top 10s, and boom, you know, he's on through the top 25 in the regular season, top 25. You know, he comes out, and you and I talked about it, you know, when he was first out on the PGA Tour. He had a couple of top 10s, you know, at the RSM Classic and Sanderson Farms, and he was looking pretty good early in the season, but then tailed off towards the end of the year, missed the top 125, forced him back to the web.com, and even there, you know, he missed the two previous cuts coming into the web.com Tour Championship. So, you know, he didn't come in with a whole lot of people thinking, you know, he had much of a chance, and yet he proved them wrong.
Right, and the most important thing, and this is, again, I'm going back to the aspiring young player.
Yeah.
You know, it's so critically important that they detach what other people think of them. All that matters is what's going through their own mind. And I recall, you know, years ago when Lauren Rubenstein was talking about Ben Silverman around the mini tours in Florida before he was on, you know, the McKenzie Tour or the web.com Tour.
Sure.
And I had one eye on him, and chances are that, you know, I was thinking that he wasn't going to be able to break through those grades, those levels, simply because most people don't.
Right.
And but he did, and then at every level, and then, you know, as it culminates and builds up, you will be confronted with more difficult challenges. And, you know, I love the saying that that gratification or success is you know, doing the heavy lifting of the burden.
Right.
And the burden of getting through to the next level and facing those situations and being conditioned to deal with them. So you, when they're confronted with them, you're not freaking out. You have a plan. You're able to maintain your focus in the moment and assess and execute and put your attention. It all depends on your attentional bias and where your attention goes when you're confronted with those pressure situations. And I can't say enough of how well he handled that situation.
What I'm
going to also project, if he's handling this situation as well as he did this past Sunday, then there's no limitations to what he can do.
Right.
If he stays in the same growth patterns and attentional bias stays in the present moment.
Yeah.
When he gets onto the PGA Tour next year and getting back to the PGA Tour, and he's able to be, you know, when he confronts those pressure situations, he's going to have confidence. He's going to have a lot more confidence. And if he has the discipline to stay in the present moment, then he's going to continue with success.
Well, it's almost like any career, isn't it? No matter what you do, basically, it's trial by error, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you have to pay your dues, and it would seem to me that, you know, coming into this season, Ben Silverman's paid his dues.
That's right. He is paying his dues. This is the baptismal of fire that Nick Westlock used to talk about.
Right.
And, you know, he's making the grade. He's making the ascent. He moves on. And you know, we watched Mike Weir do this when he got onto the PGA Tour, and he got through the baptismal of fire at the Air Canada Championship, and then he won some bigger tournaments, and then his next baptismal of fire was a major championship, the Masters in 2003. So every step of the way, it does not matter. But you know, it doesn't matter what level. It matters where your head is at, where your mindset is at. You've got to constantly condition yourself, and that's what I'm so excited about. What MindQuest Golf is all about, Hutch. Right. It's the method in which to condition yourself. So when you're confronted with those situations, you have a plan, you have a condition, and you perform.
Well, you know, going into this season, I mean, we talked about Ben. Could the same be said about Roger Sloan? Roger tied for second at the Boise Open last week, the week before Ben did. I haven't talked to Ben yet, but I would think that maybe there was some kind of inspiration there. But Roger Sloan, I mean, he had a go out in the PGA Tour a couple of years ago. You know, was forced back to web.com and you know, was kind of hanging around the top 25 in the regular season. Came in, and then he got that tie for second in Boise. So, I mean, is he showing some mental strength there?
Yes, and you know what, Hutch, thanks for reminding me that Roger Sloan did it the week before Ben Silverman. Yeah. You know, he broke through with that second place finish in Boise. And even though Roger's consistency, he was still kind of well back in the pack, so his breakthrough needed to be something really significant, you know, like finishing, you know, second or better, and he did that. So good on Roger. He had a final round 63, and you know, he was looking like he was going to get into the playoff until the inevitable winner birdied the last hole and broke that. So Roger's performance is the exact same way. And keep in mind, what I believe these guys are doing is they're feeding off each other's success.
Right.
And as Canadians and friends and peers out there, they're going, you know what, if he can do that, then so can I.
Right.
That is such an important thing. We watched the LPGA gals out there in the early 90s do the same thing.
Sure.
So we've got a fraternity. It's called Canadians in this ecosystem, and they're out there going and they're feeding off each other. So, yeah, thanks for bringing up. I think Roger Sloan absolutely needs to be recognized for his accomplishments, and because of that, we've got a tremendous amount of wonderful young aspiring Canadians that are moving into the PGA Tour next year.
Yeah, and I think it'll be more interesting to watch because they take a year in both cases, both Sloan and Silverman. They take a year of experience behind them, and that means something, doesn't it?
It does. It means a lot. They've been there before. They know what to expect. You know, going into, they know which hotels to play. They played the golf courses. So it's not unknown. It's not walking into that room with with the lights out and not knowing where the furniture is. And they accidentally bang around a bit before they get accustomed to it. So they're not, that will work in their favor as well. So it's very promising that these guys are making the headways that they are. And there's nothing like, you know, that feeling of and momentum as a group. So they're not out there as all lone wolves. They're out there as Canadians, and they're helping each other with their own success.
Like you say, they won't be falling over the furniture anymore.
That's right.
Okay. You know, and speaking of, I'm sure there'll be a lot of broken furniture after this week's Ryder Cup. So let's come back and talk about that when it's all over.
All right, Hutch. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nick.